Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
I take this opportunity to bring my last message to you all. And obviously we have kids, so I'm going to try and keep it as short as possible and as snappy as possible. So I can do short. So kids down the front here, I'm going to aim for 5 minutes. Okay, so bear with me for 5 minutes. Sam's going to help me, so if I start going off on a tangent that's totally off, Sam's going to give me the wife look. Okay. Nah, well, we might get one more Pastor Shane tangent. I'm not going on one after last week. Today, I was, it's an interesting one. You know, what do you bring on your last service in a church? What do you bring? What can you say? What can you talk about? What can you do? Do you want to reminisce over the past 12 years of being here, of working through the 12 years of the youth work, the kids work, leadership, leading the church? And I didn't necessarily want to focus on the past. That's gone, and God leads us into victory. But it leads us forward into victory. It leads us into the way we're going, not where we've been. And so I want to talk about today having a passion for his name. A passion for his name. It's something that's really been stirring in me, particularly over this past month, is a fresh passion for his name, a fresh passion for Jesus, a passion that says, you know, Jesus is the one that I am pursuing. It is a life that I want to pursue, and it is Jesus in above everything else. It's something I want to pursue. And Paul sums this up really well in Philippians. So I'm just going to take what Paul said and I'm just going to deliver that to you. That's the Apostle Paul, not that Paul. Okay. I've often realized that if somebody comes to church for the first time and they have no idea about the Bible, and here we go, I'm off on a tangent already. And they meet Paul on the way in, and it's like, "Hi, I'm Paul." And then I get up and preach and I say, "I'm going to read about what Paul said now." And they'll be thinking, this guy obviously is a good guy. It's like, so the Apostle Paul that wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, not Paul Carnell, okay? So just to clear that up if you were confused. Okay, so in Philippians, he lists all these credentials that he's got. He kind of lifts up all these things and lists in his accomplishments and his status symbols that he once lived for. He's basically saying that I'm so Jewish, I'm so Hebrew, you know, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a Pharisee, I was circumcised at 8 days old. If I could stand on a platform and say, this is it, I above anybody can do that. All these things, all these symbols, all these things that I stood for give me the ability to stand up and say, you know what, I've got it. You know, you can come against me if you want, but you know, I've got all these things, all these accomplishments, all these stated symbols which he lived for. But Paul proclaims in Philippians that they are now worthless. All of those things that he once lived for, he proclaims them as worthless. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, he says this, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ." So he's basically saying, you know, all that stuff, forget it. Now I know Christ. Now I know Jesus. I have a new passion. Those things that I was passionate about before, they're gone. They're done. My new passion is Jesus. I have a passion for Christ. I have a passion to live the way Jesus wants me to live. And Paul's words ring with joy about his new passion. You know, you read that and it rings with joy of this passion that he has for this Jesus that he has now found, this faith that he has now found, this belief that he has now found, this relationship that he has now found with Christ Jesus, his Lord. And his old ideas about what was important are gone. They've been expelled by this new love. This new love that he has completely washed away everything else which he felt important. He has a new focus. There is simply no room left for his old habits, dreams, and way of thinking. We've all probably been in that place, haven't we? Where we've had our own dreams, desires, ways of thinking. But the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come into that relationship with him, those things become less. And Jesus becomes more and more in our life. The things that were our desire. Oh, sorry, Obin. The things that were. So I do move around a lot. The things that were now important to us and not important anymore. Certain things that we lived for. You know, I always remember the testimony that my brother gave when he had his confirmation. A confirmation, that's what you do in the Anglican Church. It's a bit like a baptism, but kind of similar thing anyway. And the bishop was interviewing him before, and he was saying, at what point did you realize that you were following Jesus properly? And he's like, well, a point I realized that it was important to me was when I had tickets for the Leeds United and Barcelona match in the Champions League, but it was the same night as the Alpha Course. And I went to the Alpha Course instead. And the bishop nearly collapsed on his knees. He's like, whoa. I think even he was shocked. You could see in the bishop's eyes, I was thinking, you idiot, I'd have gone to the Barcelona match. But, you know, it was that point of like, this was important to me. But now, Jesus is more important to me. The life that I'm living for Jesus is more important. What I once counted gain is loss. What was I once passionate about? I'm not as passionate about that anymore because I have a passion for Jesus. My dreams, my habits, and my way of thinking have bowed down to a new passion of Jesus. And then later on in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul, it goes on to say, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Saying the way that I have been, I'm forgetting that. I am pressing forward into what Jesus now has for me. What is behind him has gone. What is before him is Christ, his new passion. Christ is set before him. It's a new passion that he is pursuing to go after. And like a runner, willingly enduring the pain of the race, because every step brings him closer to his goal, Paul refuses to be moved from his goal by anything in his past or his present. He simply puts his passion in Jesus and moves forward. And that new passion is Christ. And when we do that, over time, our old affections and passions naturally begin to fade. You know, as the song says, you know, that things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. And they do. Because the closer we come to Jesus, those things of the past, those things that we once counted as gain, we count as loss, those things that we once were passionate about become second and sometimes non-existent in comparison to Christ Jesus. Because he is the new passion. And when we catch that fire for a passion for Jesus, nothing else can match up to it. Nothing else matches the life that Jesus has for you. If you don't know Jesus today, you might be sat there thinking, I can't get that. I'd much rather go on holiday to Florida than, no, probably not at the moment, but I'd much rather go on holiday to Florida than go into a relationship with Jesus. But the thing is, once had a friend, me and Sam were once in a similar situation when we were at Bible college, and somebody said, you know, I'd rather have my relationship with Jesus than go on holiday to Greece. And at that point, we were like, really? Because we didn't get it at that time. It was kind of like that passion wasn't there. But as time has gone on and our life has grown in faith, we now recognize that those things are the earthly things and nothing compared to the eternal things of Jesus, which we now access on this earth, which is amazing. You know, it's not just about when we get there. It's about the fullness of heaven in our lives now. You know, it's that passion for Jesus isn't just I'm passionate about Jesus to get my ticket into heaven. It's a passion for Jesus that releases the fullness of heaven into your life today. You can have that today. You can have that today. And our new passion in Christ grows as everything else fades. It grows. It grows in strength. It grows in stature. And we become more and more like him. And I've preached on this a couple of weeks ago, that the more and more we become like him, the more and more of Jesus the world will see through us. They won't see you anymore, they will see Jesus. As we become more and more one with Christ, we see him. And as we have that passion for his name, as we stir up a fresh passion for Jesus, we know that that passion is going to totally overshadow anything else that we have a passion for. Because a passion for Jesus is the one thing that will not disappoint, that will not let us down, that will constantly stay strong and true in our lives from the day we're born to the day we go to heaven. It never changes. The passion for Jesus is something which will grow strong within you. I'm just going to finish with a quote from Toby Mack. I really loved this. Toby Mac, those you'll remember him from the band DC Talk. And he says, "And where would I be without you?" This is talking about God. I'd be packing my bags when I needed to stay. I'd be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. You know, when we pursue the passion of God, we don't do that. We respond when God speaks. We don't chase every breeze, we chase after him. And we don't start building our own kingdom, but we build his kingdom, which is going to last and not fade away. Amen.